World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, we have passed the salt.
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with the Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
What's that song I sing every once in a while? Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over. That's Jefferson Airplane, wasn't it? That was back in those tumultuous, probably the late 60s, 68, 69, maybe 70. Jefferson Airplane came out. I just got a feeling in my spirit today. There's something going on, folks. There's something going on. Had real computer issues this morning. That doesn't usually happen to me. I had to unplug and reset and crazy stuff going on. And I think it's because there is crazy stuff going on in the world. And I'm not one of those guys that, you know, like, the devil's after us. Oh, my goodness. No, I'm not one of those. But I'm telling you, there's something big going on. Had a great opportunity last night to be on the Hagman Report. I thank Doug and Joe. Those guys are real. I mean, those guys are real, Doug and Joe. And I made the comment last night kind of offhanded. I wish I hadn't. It kind of bothered me afterwards. Cause I don't want to speak anything into existence. That sounds kind of name it, claim it, doesn't it? But, you know, words do have power, no doubt. And I just made the comment. I don't know if you guys watch them regularly. The stuff that the Hagmans have been having on recently is just mind blowing. And I talked about the fear porn, and we all get trapped up in that. We get all this information. We don't know what to do with it. And as a result of it, we get paralysis by analysis. But I made the comment last night, man. I said, I don't know how you guys stay alive or something to that effect. Now, you must have an underground bunker or security. And so I just, Doug and Joe, I just pulled that one back in the name of Jesus. Said, no weapon formed against you guys is going to prosper. Every tongue rising in judgment against you going to be condemned. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. And say, Lord, I just declare that over you guys that you're safe for the platform that they give us. But we live in crazy times, you know, crazy times. I got some crazy stuff to bring to the table today, and going to try to blend together several different things that I've come across in the last few days. One of the points I tried to make last night on the Hagman Report. By the way, before I get too deep into this, anybody got something bugging them? Anything pressing on their heart that they'd like to get out there right now?
Coach, you made a great point about Oprah yesterday. I just want to tell you, you're probably going to talk about that now, but you made a great point. White people have to die. White people have to die. She wants to be president. Wasn't she an idiot?
Well, and Vince, we never asked the next question, right? I made this point on Hagman last night. I don't think she said white people have to die, but we know who she's talking about, right?
Right. Say,
now, we know who she's talking about. And so, you know, we have to ask this next question. Oh, some people have to die. Those people just have to die. Well, what's the next question? When? How? By who?
Right. Right.
Let me add one more thing
on that. I told you I worked at the healthcare facility. Well, when you work with stupid people, well, they want to get rid of all the smart people who do all the work. And then when the work needs to be done, they sit around holding with their thumbs up there. You know what?
Yeah, right.
Perfect example, South Africa and the farmers.
So they don't want thinkers, Vince. They want rule followers, which comes back even to our education system. I don't know if you guys saw the video of the lady being arrested at a school board meeting the other night. It's just crazy. Crazy stuff's going on. And the point that I tried to make last night, you know, the missing element in all this, I tried to get this across on the Hagman Report. We got Trump on one side. We got the swamp on the other side. We got all this stuff going on. I said, the missing element in this whole thing is the church. The church has almost no footprint at all in this battle that's going on. And I think there's a lot of different reasons why that this is happening. But I hate to be a broken record, but somebody's got to continue to point it out that there's a big piece of this thing missing. And that big piece that's missing is us, church.
Amen.
And our ability to influence and our ability to do what's right. Now, I was thinking last night as I laid down after the show, and I was asking, you know, if I could, here's a good question for all of us today. For all of us. If you could stop one thing that's going on in America right now, or correct one thing in America right now, if the Lord gave you the ability to say, you got there, this is it, man, here's your hammer, boom. What is it? What is it? What is it? What is the one thing that you would do? One thing that you would stop, the one thing that would be corrected. Because otherwise, Paul said, don't beat the air. And sometimes I feel like we're beating the air. And I focused a lot last night on the show on Planned Parenthood and the funding of killing of unborn children. And I think that might be number one. But then I look at the family, and the family's in disarray, and I look at, oh, man, we have so many problems. And so we can't get a paralysis by analysis. We have to be able to come up with a solution. And, of course, as we all know, the gospel is the solution. The thing that the Lord helped me to see last night, and I got someplace I'm going to go, and then, oh, my goodness, Lord, help us. Help us. We face unbelievable problems. The body of Christ doesn't arise. Unbelievable. And I made the connection last night. Really, I guess I've been thinking about, been dancing around it. That the whole thing with Planned Parenthood isn't a woman's right to choose. See, that's the ultimate bait and switch that they've played on it.
Right.
A woman's right to choose. They have focused all the attention on a woman's right to choose. And dumb people that we are, we bought into that's really what this whole debate's about. And now as the scroll begins to be unrolled and we begin to see the bigger picture of what's going on, understand the blood, the innocent blood in Planned Parenthood, in abortion, how that plays in to the whole global thing that's going on in regards to Pediogate, pedophiles, Russ Dizdar, satanic, richly abused, this larger network of demonic power that for the most part the church is oblivious to. We are oblivious to it.
No, they're obsequious to it.
That's a big word, Vince. Black guys aren't supposed to know big words like Vince. Black guys aren't supposed to know big words like that. That sound racist? Oh, you learned it from Oprah? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I learned nothing from Oprah except how they. I'm not gonna say it. But obsequious means that they are bound to.
Mm. Yep. Well, they are, brother. They are obsequious. They are. And so, you know, I came across some stuff today that I want to be able to share with you. First of all, Jared, pull up. Let's go to Psalm 1. Yeah, Larry. Let's go to Jared. Let's go to Psalm 2 while Larry's jumping in.
Is the invitation still open to air out anything that's bugging us?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
9 days ago on the 1st of January, we shared a communion here in this group of folks, and some people, you know, that weren't in this queue here also took part.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that almost everybody who took part in that communion before it started thought that they knew they had a really good foundation in themselves of what communion was all about and what it was. But we know from testimony of folks that took part in it that they received something different. I'm not going to say new because it's been in the Word the whole time, but they received something different 9 days ago that they didn't have about the experience of taking communion with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're facing a situation where you're going to be ordaining people. Now, and you've expressed that you have some, you're not really settled about how you're going to handle who you're going to ordain. Now, this is difficult for me to say because I hate to say the Spirit, you know, God told me to say this, but he did. You do not want to put yourself in the position to ordain someone as a minister for Christ who is not a brother in Christ. Now, what days they think are important to have church on, what they eat, whether they're vegetarians or not, all that, those doctrines, Paul tells us, let each man be convinced in his own mind. But there are certain things in the Word of God that indicates and tells us who children of God are and who they're not. And there are tools in the Word of God to use to determine, that we can use to determine, because we, as individual Christians, have the responsibility to correct our brothers in love and in meekness. But we have a responsibility to correct them.
Amen.
And we can't do that unless we know who they are. Now, just like everyone thought that they knew all about communion until 9 days ago, and I even learned something, and I've done that type of ceremony for over 3 decades now, and I learned something 9 days ago. There was something revealed to me that was different. Different, like I say, or additional. And, well, what I'm saying is that you need to be really sensitive to the Spirit as to what steps and how you're going to work into this, if you're going to. I mean, if the Spirit tells you don't do it, then don't do it. And you're the one that God has put in charge of this ministry, so I'm totally at your direction on this. But whenever you decide, or whenever the Spirit tells you, I am ready to go over and cover some things that I received from the Word of God that it says that are totally, totally ignored in the thing calling itself a church out there. And that's all I'm going to say.
Well, Larry, here's what I'm going to say. You're going to have to trust me. You're going to trust me.
That's all part of what we heard 9 days ago. We have to understand the body. See, I have to, once I've determined that you're my brother in Christ, and you are, then if you tell me somebody else is your brother in Christ, I don't need to waste my time determining whether they are a brother in Christ. I don't need to test everybody you've already tested.
Right.
But it takes information. It takes understanding from what God's word has to say to build that kind of trust. In order to totally trust your ability to determine who a Christian is, I need to know that you know what the Word says about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree, but that's not the point I'm making.
Your show, and I just told you that it's your show. I trust you to put it in when the Spirit says, or not if the Spirit says no.
Cool.
I trust you for that.
Then we're on the same page. Did somebody else try to jump in here? I thought I heard somebody else say something. Okay. Well, so listen, are we in Psalm 2, Jer? Are we in Psalm 2? Because I think that, see, one of the things that I think that we're missing, that Christianity in general is missing, and I've harped this over and over, is there's another team. There is another team, and even though we may not totally know who is on our team, maybe we don't have a complete understanding of that, and we'll get to it here, Larry. Most Christians don't have any idea there's another team. We don't understand the depth and the vastness of the evil that we are fighting against. When the Scripture says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The average, you call him a Christian, you call him a churchgoer, you call him a believer. The average believer, and I'm talking to myself now, a year and a half ago, has no idea the depth of what that means. And for the most part, we have condensed Christianity down into what we can handle and what we can deal with. And the battle is so much more vast than what we understand the battle to be. So when we get to Psalm 2, and Psalm 2 says, why do the heathen rage? Just pull it up there, Jared. Looking down, see who we got in there. And then, why do the heathen rage? I got to click on it. Word, I lost you, Jared. There it is. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth
set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointing. So there is clearly a much larger battle taking place, not just between the people, but the kings of the earth. Remember, the Lord said that he will have no other gods before him. So therefore, there must be other gods. There must be other gods. Not Big G, not the God, not Jehovah, but there must be other gods. And there must be other kings of the earth. And when we think kings of the earth, we are thinking king of England, king of Germany. I know Germany doesn't have a king. We're thinking about actual kings. When I believe this scripture is talking about a larger dimension and a larger thing that's going on. And I'm trying to help people to understand and see the larger picture of exactly what is going on. So the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and his anointed, that let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then he shall speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sword his pleasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten you. Ask me and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. We are supposed to be, the heathen are our inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for our possession. You, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron and thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. So I'm trying, and have been trying, to expand our understanding beyond just the little natural world in which we all live. Am I making myself clear on what I'm trying to do here? You know, we bring in Mark Trump comes in and he begins talking about the cyber world, and now my head just starts spinning again in an area I hadn't even thought about. And artificial intelligence and, oh my goodness, and pedophilia. Some people say, I don't even want to hear about that stuff. We have to hear about that stuff. This is where the battle is raging. This is where the battle is taking place. We have to be aware of it.
Children are forfeit.
Don't be ignorant of his devices. And so the slaughter of the unborn children, the abortion battle, is part of this larger battle. It is the food of the kings of the earth. It is their nourishment.
Exactly, brother.
Literally.
Jared, pull up there for me. Mark Trump sent me this video or this email yesterday. It just says Trump, Jared. And we're not going to go to all these places, but I want you to read with me here this email that Mark sent me yesterday. Let me see. Am I finding that thing there? Get it up there yet, Jared? You'll get it up there. There you go. I'm going to read it as Jared's finding it. And we're not going to go to all these links, but I just, come on now. Come on now. Coach, how far have we fallen? Mark Trump on the queue says to me in an email yesterday. What is moral and immoral? It's busy, that's for sure. This is a disgusting summary of where the elite are and what is normal, like carrying around children's blood in their sports bottles like red wine all over Hollywood. We don't believe that, do we? There we go. And another satanic subject, blood boys used for juicing, draining, vampirism for the Hollywood elite, part of the pedophilia problem, connected to baby sacrifice. Mel Gibson speaks out against it. He's got a link there. We're not going to go to the link. Jim Carrey, what did Jim Carrey? Jim Carrey says these kids are fattened up for the Christmas table like geese and turkeys, except the animals don't go through the ritual abuse, the psychological torment that these kids are forced to suffer. This stuff is real, and the church has no idea. Keanu Reeves speaks out and says Hollywood elites use the blood of babies to get high. Keanu Reeves said this. He warns that these people believe the more innocent the child and the more it suffered before it died, the better the high. The revelations that are coming out of Hollywood now, I'm telling you, they're just the tip of the iceberg, Reeves said in 2007. According to Reeves, the number of Hollywood elites who engage in ritual abuse of children and the practice of drinking their blood is not insignificant. Some of these guys carry around bottles of blood they call red wine, but they don't hide it. And what I understand, there is a supply chain that delivers young children on the regular. In times we refer to the times of famine, times of feast, and then there's another leak.
That's called CPS.
In other news, first Japanese cannibalistic restaurant. You can order a dish of human meat for only 100 to 1,000. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Can I stop real fast, Coach? I've had this gif of a guy eating what's purportedly a baby on a plate, and people have always said that it's fake, and obviously now we know that it's not.
Well, we don't want to believe it, though, do we, Vinny? We don't want to believe that. We don't want to believe it.
Amen.
4 days ago, a man has told a court how he brutally killed his lifelong friend because he believed it would grant him immortality. Well, do you understand? Body brokers. It just keeps going. Sell destructive testing of veteran body parts without our permission. The customers include the U.S. government. As Reuters reported in December, the Army used the heads, arms, and legs for more than 20 bodies in blast experiments in 2012 and 2013. You understand what they've done? Guys who died, guys who were killed in war or whatever, they kept their bodies so they could experiment on how blowing them up, how the body reacts. And one of the most egregious examples, the military used the body of an Army veteran who signed a donor form 2 months before he died of cancer, 2013. The man was so angry about the poor health care provided by the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs that he checked no to military experimentation on the consent form. It didn't matter. His body was used in the violent Army test anyway. Say, Coach, what are you trying to say to us? I'm trying to help you understand the vastness of this battle that is surrounding us.
So,
okay?
Coach, one more step. Are Veterans Administrations keeping these guys alive, or are they helping them pass on for science?
Brother, is that something? Huh? And I've said this again. I said this before, and I'll say it again. Until we understand the depth of the evil that we are dealing with, brothers, and so that leads into Donald Trump and the deep state and the QAnon and 8chan.
It's what it's all about. I think this is what the resistance is all about: is people don't want to give up their blood boy lifestyles. They don't want to give up their stem cell use. They don't want to give up their baby heads. Bankrupt. One guy went bankrupt that had all these bodies. He had 91 heads, 50-some spines, and he auctioned them off for $160,000. I mean, these things are just meaningless. Life is meaningless to these people.
Folks, listen, abortion, I'm convinced of it. Abortion is not about a woman's right to choose. It's not about any of that. That's simply what they've used. It is about babies, blood, body parts. I believe it. I believe it so much that my whole focus in dealing with Planned Parenthood is changing, because we see that they've just hardened their heart. Pharaoh has just hardened his heart. And we don't understand when Jesus told us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. He told us that without the shedding of blood, that blood is currency in the spiritual realm. Until we understand what's going on, until we realize that we have got to stop the spigot, we've got to shut off the spigot.
That's right.
Much of what we're doing is spinning our wheels.
Coach, yeah,
if Adam, I'm sorry, go ahead.
If you go back into the Old Testament, you'll see all about Baal and Moloch or whoever that demonic fallen angel god was. They required blood, and they required human sacrifices. And by doing that, they were guaranteed wealth, supposedly, or fame. The abortion world today in our country is the same thing, except they're not coming out with this bullheaded god, give me your baby so I can burn it. It's you're young, you got your life ahead of you, you know, this is your choice. Go ahead. We'll take care of it for you.
It's like blood. Blood cells and the procreation of life is how God gave us the ability to repeat our human existence. There's energy that comes from that transference of blood and conception.
Amen, brother. Amen. There's amen. What do we want?
So check this out, Coach. What if blood cells, especially from babies, innocent babies, were the new form of cryptocurrency, the new Bitcoin? Call it a blood coin.
Ew.
You know, and then if the people really believe they're getting energy from drinking it, like stumbling around Hillary Clinton, you know, if they believe that that's how they're gaining energy from that life, then it is all in the blood.
That's if they believe it, right? If they believe it.
Up against
it doesn't matter whether we believe it.
Right.
Doesn't matter if we believe it, Mark. They believe it.
They believe it. That's what we're up against, is their belief that they're extracting energy from the blood, whether or not it's moral or wholesome or godly. That's the belief system. That's the part that shocks me. Even yesterday, I put that together. It still shocks me that is out the way we're operating.
Well, you have to understand that these people have no regard for anyone else but themselves.
No, amen. Amen. Okay, so I don't want to get bogged down on this. I want to show you something here. I want to show you something. Jared, go to that stuff and pull up through the looking glass. This was released. This was released by one of these Q Chan. I don't know who it is. I don't know who it is. Jared, maybe you can reduce it down a little bit, because I want to take just a few minutes. I'm not going to go through all this, guys. This is unbelievable. I've spent some time on this in the last couple of days. Well, I don't know why it starts with Pizzagate, Jared. If I pull mine up there, I'm trying to show you the. See, we want. Okay, you're doing good, Jared. You're doing good. I'm sorry. We want to laugh about Pizzagate and Pettigate and secret societies and yada yada yada. This guy, whoever this guy is, has put out. He has made these charts. Hey. Jared, let's get this off. Let's slide on down, Jared, because right now people are turning off all Pedogate, Pizzagate. Let's slide on down. Listen, this is we're gonna put this link up, and I want you to spend some time on your own going through this, because this is mind-boggling going down, Jared. Somebody has put together. That's all that's there.
Hey, Coach.
Oh yeah, there sure is. There sure is. Let me see. Somebody
I gave you the whole entire map earlier before you came on.
Yeah.
You did.
Yeah, I got the whole link for the entire maps, every one of them.
Yeah.
Because all of these maps that had I done a good job, I was going to get up and show to you.
Jared, did you get them?
Yeah, hang on there a second. Here's what I want you to see. Somebody took the time to go through the organizational structure of the dark side.
Everything. The family tree. All of
the organizational. Now, as I said, I'm not going to take the time to go down through all of it. Okay, they're through the looking glass. That's where it is. And maybe that's it, Jared. A scene-by-scene timeline in one large... That's it, Jared, I think. Paul, see if that's not it. Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah, I hate it when this happens. How can I not hit the right click? How can I not click on the right thing? What's the Mandela effect out there, Mark? It is a connection. Shows you all of these... Kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed. It shows that. Yeah, we'll find it tomorrow. We'll get it up there. I don't know how.
It's at the chat, Jared. It's 6:30.
You put it in the chat, you say?
Yeah. That's it.
There we are. Oh. All right, good. Okay, learn to read the map. Learn to read the map. Now, guys, this is unbelievably long. Okay, Jared, just scroll down through this thing, and I'm just going to show you. Here's somebody who's put together, on down, Jared, way on down, this organizational structure that the devil's team has. On down more, on down more. I mean, there's a lot of stuff here. This is all worth reading. On down more, Jared. It's all worth reading. But I want to show it. I want you to see some good videos. On down more, on down more. And then we have a series of charts that somebody has put together. That can start right there, Jared. Now we're not going. You don't have to zoom in on all of them, Jared. This is what the guy. This is the chart that these guys have put together. The Illuminati chart of the world government. Scroll down to the next one, Jared. There's about 20 of these, 25 of these. And as I said, I'm not going to take time to go through all these, but I want you to understand what we're against. Here it is. This is more the world government going down. The intelligence complex. How the intelligence complex is set up. How the United Nations set up, who rules the world, got names, has everything, connections, who really runs the world, then it shows how that is. Then the New World Order organizational chart shows who they are, the families, the names, on down. This is chart after chart after chart after chart that the Christian world doesn't even want to believe exists. The Order of the Illuminati and the connections go on down, Jared. The Council on Foreign Relations, the Roundtable, United Nations, how they're all interconnected, on down the Roundtable, who they are, on down. The Committee of 300, who they are, on down. Time to wake up the people, the Illuminati triangle, on down. And who the companies are that are supporting the Committee of 300 financial. Somebody has put all of these charts together. It's unbelievable if you want to spend the time to go in there and look. So that we will, in fact, understand our enemy. We do not understand our enemy. I don't understand our enemy. The British monarchy, the Committee of 300. Keep on going down, Jared. Keep on. It goes on and on. Look at that. Look at that. Who runs the world? There's the connection. Where are you in this worldwide scheme? The Crown of 13, the Committee of 800, the subfamily elite, the rich and powerful subfamilies, global think tanks, world financial, world natural resources. Private corporations, world population control, government, look how far down government, media, and religion are. And these all have been co-opted. Religion's been co-opted. And then down there at the bottom, the ignorant debt slaves, us. Go on down, Jared. Who runs the world? It goes on, shows you who's running the world. Believe it or not, there's an organization out there. You may not think they are, but they're out there and they are organized. Who really runs the world? Go on down, Jared. Good political Zionism, Bilderbergers, all this. Who runs the world? Tells us what's going on and what the connections are. Keep on going down.
Yeah,
sorry, I got to catch my breath. Pyramid of manipulation, the Freemasonic Brotherhood, what they're doing, the intelligence agencies, how they're connected in there and how the power elite are doing what they do. Keep going down. Chart after chart after chart after chart of connections. We're going to get down in here to the crime families. Who's running the families? And they show us the Bushes, and they show us the Clintons. It shows a whole connection. On down. I'm almost yelling, but I'm just telling you, this is, boy, look at this. Look how the state, the corporate, just state violence, central planning, the individual, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed. Feudalism then and now, on down. Chart after chart after chart. Somebody has put all of this together and has released it and shown us how it works. There's the Pope and the Church and the monarch, the nobles, the knights, the vassals, and the merchants, the farmers, and the craft, the pyramid, how the pyramid works. And their pyramid, that's always their sign, their signal, right? Top down, top down. Oh, my goodness. I got into this and I couldn't get out of it.
There's a level.
He's out of it.
I'll just shut up, Jared. Just keep scrolling down there. So, you have to be somewhat inquisitive on your own.
Yes.
That last picture looked like the Tower of Babel.
I mean, it's just, keep going, Jared, because it's going to get down to people's names that we know.
Oh, dear.
Skull and Bones, here we go. John Kerry. Mm-hmm. Bush. Going down. Keep going
Daddy
down.
Bush.
Skull and Bones and who they are and who they're connected to.
Yep, old Poppy.
And how there's Skull and Bones' grandfather, Clockwork. Oh, my goodness. And they are showing us all the charts. Somebody's put all of this together. Whether you believe it or not, whether you think it exists or not, here are the connections. George W. Bush, George Bundy, John Kennedy, Time Incorporated, George Herbert Walker,
William Sloan Kaufman, Prescott Bush. They're giving us the names of what? The Skull and Bones. And they're in the Supreme Court. They're influencing the Supreme Court. The U.S. Navy. Oh, my. Look at it. Is this crazy? Is this crazy? And churches won't even get together to do anything. Look how organized the enemy is. Bloodlines, family bloodlines, Illuminati family. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to believe it. The Order of the Illuminati, the Rothschilds, all that stuff they tell us doesn't exist. Here's the chart. Here are the flow charts. They're the names. Look at it. Is this amazing? It goes on and on and on and on. 10 real threats to humanity. Rothschilds, Solomon, Jacob Rothschild, George Soros, Kissinger, Larry Summers. Goes right. They're the names. On down. On down. Deep state network, who they are and how they look at that, how they're all connected together, Congress, and look at that. Just pick at that and look at the connection, that flow. If Sarge is on here, maybe he could tell us how a flow chart works. There's the swamp, showing us what the swamp is, what Trump's trying to drain and how hard it is to drain because it's more than just a good old U.S. of A. There's That's Trump in the swamp. They're making the connections for us. Show us what he's fighting against and who's connected with who and why he's having the problems that he's having. The we secret connections, Russia.
Jenny Carter.
This is amazing, right? Whether it's true or not, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed. These guys hate Christ. They hate Christ. Going down, Jared. Are we done?
No.
Not by the long shot. No.
So, okay. We'll get all of you this link. It's overwhelming. Look, this is overwhelming. They're telling us who they are. These men rule the world. The Bible tells us the kings of this earth set themselves. The Bible tells us. This is who they are.
See?
Here's who they are. It's not the people you elect. That's not who it is.
And the ones that are out are marked off. Right. The ones that have died or disappeared.
Yep. Amazing. Okay, so hang on. So it's a placeholder. Okay, so let me shift gears here a minute. Jared, make sure everybody gets this link so they can see it. It's mind blowing. You could lose your whole life just watching this stuff.
Oh dear.
So not only do we not know who the enemy is, we don't even know who our team is. We don't even know. And we find out that the scriptures tell us that your enemies will be those of your own household. What does that mean? The possibility that evil has infiltrated the church that we thought was our team, that we go to church and we sit down with people who are in no way at all connected to spiritual things. They're religious. They're going through the religious rigmarole, whatever that word is. They're doing the dances. They're teaching his commandments, the doctrines of men, making the word of God of none effect. And we not only don't even know who the enemy is, we don't even know who we are. We don't even know that. And so we get confused when we look around and we see how organized the enemy is and how disorganized our team is. And why is our team disorganized? Because we're not on the same team. We haven't even figured this out. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God. In that day, many will say, Lord, in your name, didn't we cast out devils and didn't we lay hand on the sick, see them recover? And didn't we do all these remarkable things in your name? And the Lord says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. Understood a knowing is like a man who knows his wife, a deep connection bond. And we don't even know what a Christian is, really. Everybody's our brother and sister in Christ, really? Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is that all it takes? Is that all it takes? So Larry, who's our brother? Who's our brother? Who's our sister? How do we, now that we know somewhat about the other team, how do we know who's on our team?
Are you there, Larry?
Yeah, I'm here. You know, that is one of the three questions that I want to start off with as we explore who is a Christian. What or who is a child of God is the first question. How do I tell who is one is the second question. And the third question, I believe, is even more important, is that, am I one? Each individual has to answer that question, am I a child of God, for themselves, to themselves, before they can progress in the family of God. You have to know you belong. And we've got all of these denominations out there that spend all kinds of time developing mission works and mission committees and going out and spreading the quote gospel and all this and everything. And they've never answered that question for themselves. Now, they've answered the question to this extent. For years, I grew up in the First Church of Convenience. Now, that's the church that was closest to our house, wherever we lived. My dad was military, so we moved a lot. But the church that was closest to our house that wasn't Catholic or weird, which meant Pentecostal, but that was the church that we attended wherever we lived at, First Church of Convenience. And I grew up in that church, and I was convinced that I was part of the family of God because I went up and shook the pastor's hand and accepted the right hand of fellowship. My golly, that did it. I was in the club. And then later on, I got all wet when he dunked me in this tub of water up here in front of everybody. And boy, I was really in it then. But you know, I was in it according to the understanding that I had. And it wasn't until I was 31 years old, sitting in a jail cell, accused of a crime that didn't even happen, much less me do it, but that doesn't matter. That doesn't count in this story. What counts in this story, I was 31 years old before I realized that I had been running my own life, and I had been making decisions of where I should go, what I should do, and what I should say, and how I should do it and everything. And my decisions had led me to where I was at, sitting in that jail cell. And it was just like Jesus appeared to me and says, hey, Larry, are you happy where you're at? And I said, no. I said, no, Lord. Kind of like those people there in Matthew 7 you were talking about that say, Lord, Lord, and he's going to reject them. And he says, are you ready for me to take over? And I said, yes, Lord. And my life hasn't been the same since that moment. But the point is that those people is sitting in those satanic social clubs out there, they don't know it's a, most of them don't know it's a satanic social club. Most of them are there because they want to be a part of the family of God. They even think they are. They think they know they are.
Mm-hmm.
They don't because they have never been provided or given all of the information about what they're supposed to be even.
Amen.
And so,
because the kings of this earth have penetrated the churches, right? The kings of this world have penetrated.
Absolutely. So when the Spirit put it on my heart to contact you and say, hey, can we do a teaching on what is a child of God? How do you become one? How do you know you're one? These three questions came to me, and these three questions are the starting point or the focal point of what we're going to cover here. And the thing, these questions are intermingled. You can't really separate one from the other. Okay. Because once you know the answer to the one, it leads you to searching for the answers to the other. Okay. Doesn't matter which order you take them in. But once you have the answers to these three questions, once you see, and it's not me telling you that these are the answers. I'm going to take you through the Word of God and let you see and let the Spirit within you confirm or deny, if I say something and one of y'all just knows the Spirit in you says, hey, he just told a big lie from the devil. Have enough love to call me up afterwards or whatever. If the Spirit tells you to interrupt, do it right there. Just say, hey, you just said something that's the devil. Okay? I want y'all to do that because I don't want to be wrong. I got this, I believe, by the Spirit. And you guys I hope you might have an inkling of understanding how scary it is to be speaking like I'm speaking right now. for the Spirit, for God. It's a scary thing.
Let's go, man. Let's go.
Okay, so we're going to tackle these three questions. You know, Shakespeare wrote in Hamlet that one of his characters, Polonius or somebody like that, he said, to thine own self be true. And I mentioned this a couple of days ago, and that came as really a plagiarism from the Bible, where it says, examine yourselves to be worthy. Examine yourself so you won't take this communion unworthily. And being worthy, the Bible, especially the New Testament, has a whole lot to say about being worthy, and I encourage each of you to go and do a word study on worthy and find out what it has to say. Now, some of those verses may come into play in what we go over here, but at this moment, we're not going to cover, because once you get started on these subjects, you can just cover the whole Bible if you want to. I mean, they all link together, but we've got to zero in on the important thing is, how do we know we're children of God? What is a child of God? And how do we determine whether somebody else is a child of God or not? You know, we've got people in the satanic social clubs out there, they will go to the wrestling mat telling you that you have no rights to determine whether somebody else is a Christian or not. Well, if that were true, then about 70% of the instructions in the New Testament telling us how to deal with each other, about 70% of those instructions are just totally bogus, because they're, you know, if we're not supposed to know who our brothers and sisters are, then it's the information that the New Testament gives us is wasted. Because we're instructed to encourage each other, be with each other, correct each other, et cetera, et cetera. That's part of our lifestyle. That's part of who we are supposed to be.
Amen, brother.
So now, you know, we covered this 9 days ago. 1 Corinthians 10, back there, 11, when we, 1 Corinthians 11, 28 and 29, when we took communion 9 days ago. And we discovered that the Spirit of God was prompting Paul to tell the church at Corinth that they were messing up when they were taking communion with each other. They were being obedient, that they were doing this thing. They were going through this ceremony in remembrance of Christ and all that. But he says, we are messing up. You got people taking that thing unworthily because they don't discern the body of Christ. They don't understand what it's all about. They don't understand the obligation that the body of Christ has for itself.
They don't take it seriously, brother.
They don't take it seriously. And Matt will really jump on this one. The two greatest commandments, the first, Jesus told the scribes and the Pharisees, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy might, all thy soul, and all thy strength. You know, if you're obeying that commandment and all of your love is going to Christ, all of your love is going to the Lord, how much love, now some of you are capable of doing first grade math, how much love is left over after you take everything that was there? If you take all of your love and give it to the Lord, is there any love left over? No. There's no love left. All of your love goes to the Lord. And then it says, and Jesus said, he himself spoke this. He says, the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if you have any love left over for your neighbor, the only way that that can be compatible with what he had just said with the first greatest, with the greatest commandment, is if your neighbor is the Lord. The body of Christ, your brother and sister in Christ, is the Lord. He's the head, we're the body. Ephesians kind of covers that pretty good.
Hey, Larry.
Those two great commandments are the same commandment, and that is exactly what the Greek word that was used, that was translated as like unto it, that is exactly what that word means. It means exactly the same as. Like unto
it. Larry, can I add something to that second commandment?
Yes.
William MacDonald has written a fantastic commentary book, and it's what he says about the first and second commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. He said we should think of how very much we do love ourselves, of how much of our activity centers around the care and comfort of self. And then we should try to imagine what it would be like if we showered that love on our neighbors. Then we should do it. Such behavior, though, is not natural. It is supernatural. And only those who have been born again can do it. And then only by allowing Christ to do it through them.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
Those two commandments
are
the only way you can love your neighbor the way you should love your neighbor is if you love Christ and you've been
born. The only thing you missed there, Matt, is you used the word should. We are commanded. We are commanded. It's not that we should. We are commanded.
If you claim to be a Christian, you have to follow those commands.
Absolutely. And until the body of Christ learns to take care of each other. And that's one thing that's sort of fantastic about this huddle. There are segments and elements of this huddle that you see that care for each other. You see that true benevolence and compassion and any other word you want to use that members of this huddle have for each other. And folks that aren't on the huddle, that is what draws me to this group so much, along with being able to share some of the things that I've been living with for 30 years and been kicked out of places and ostracized and hollered at and screamed at because I was saying what the Bible says for 30 years. You have no idea how comforting it is to have some ears to listen to you. I mean, there's just that much of me in me that I enjoy being accepted, okay?
We enjoy you too, brother.
Now, so we've got this concept that we need to look at as to who are our brothers. What is the child of God?
Hang on a second, Larry, just a second, because I want to make a point. I believe, fellas, listen to me. I think that is one of the greatest things that is missing in the church environment, the body of Christ, the affirmation of our brothers and sisters in their gifts and the value of their gifts. I think most guys are looking to be engaged, to be put into place, to feel that they are important. And that is one of the greatest things that's missing in the church environment in which we're in. Go ahead, Larry.
Okay. You know, thank you. You're absolutely right. That is so missing in those satanic social clubs. Calling them that because at the bottom, it is Satan who has changed the environment and changed the atmosphere and changed the activities and those clubs. It is Satan who has infiltrated the truth and covered it over temporarily. And most people don't know they're sitting in a satanic social club. They think they're sitting there. They think they're a child of God because they've been told they are and used a false set of data to make that determination.
Evil men have crept in unawares. We're warned of that in the scriptures, folks. We're warned several times in that the church is going to be infiltrated. Evil men have crept in unawares. That's Jude. Go ahead, Larry.
You know, and I had an advantage over you guys out there probably. I'm not aware of any of you guys out there that have spent a lot of time in jail. I hope all of you understand the difference between jail and prison. Jail is where you go before there's a trial, awaiting a trial, when you don't have any money to get out on bail. And prison is where you go if you've been convicted of something. Well, I had an opportunity one time to spend a lot of months in jail waiting for a trial that never happened. But the thing is, during that time, I had nothing else to do. When you're in jail, you don't have any privileges or rights. You don't get to go to the TV room. You don't get to go to the common room. When you're in jail, you're there in your cell, and you're there until you go to trial or until something else happens. So it gave me the chance to read through the Bible several times, the New Testament, dozens, if not 100 or more times during those months. I could read the New Testament in less than a day and a half by the time it was over. That's where I learned to listen a little bit. Not as much as I learned later on. I shared that with you when we talked about prayer. But I learned to listen a little bit when I was in jail. And I was laying there one day, and I read that part that Coach mentioned earlier about Matthew chapter 7, where there are going to be many that tell Jesus, Lord, Lord, didn't we do these mighty works in your name? Didn't we build these ministries and heal these miracles? I mean, we did it, man. We did it in your name. And Jesus is going to say, get away from me. I don't know you. You who commit iniquity, or who practice iniquity is a word there, from the Greek word praxen. But I was laying, and I read that, and I said, how can it be? How can all of these people that truly think they're Christians, not only do they claim Jesus as their Lord, but they also claim that they built their lives serving him. How can it be that he rejects them? And the Spirit told me, said, Larry said, answer me some questions. He says, is the American flag white? I said, yeah. He says, is the American flag blue? I said, yeah. He says, is the American flag red? I said, yeah. And then he asked me about the stars and the stripes in the field of blue behind the stars. And the answer to every one of his questions was yes. And then he said, all of these are true statements of fact about the American flag. He said, the same principle is in play when it comes to salvation and the lordship of Jesus in people's lives. He says, there's more than one verse that applies. And I grew up, a lot of my time in those first church and convenience were in Baptist churches. And I grew up that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. Only in most times, and even sometimes from the pulpit, they would leave out that little phrase, the Lord Jesus. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you're saved, brother, you're saved. You're on your way to heaven, and it's something that's there forever, can never be taken away. Once saved, always saved. Congratulations, you're in the family of God. That's one verse. So we're going to cover some other verses. And if the Spirit leads, I will add some, maybe a little bit of explanation, but I try to stay away from that because I want to keep what I present as true, straight from the Word as I can. Let's go to John. Everybody, and most of the places here, y'all can just jot these scripture references down and look at them on your own later. And we got four minutes to go.
We only got about 2.5 minutes. So
let's go to this first verse. And then what I'll do is I've sent the coach a file of the rest of these verses. And coach, if you'll send that to Jared, he can flock it out and everybody can go do it a little bit. That you sent out, it was a different link. Okay. I got it.
Okay.
But that was a little different. Okay. But let's go to John. Chapter 1, that's the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 12 and 13. Now, coach is coming.
John 1, 12 and 13. Gospel of John, Jared? 1, good, 12 and 13.
Okay. Now, what does this say?
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Yeah, it says, as many as received him, who? Jesus. He gave them what? Did he give them a seal of approval as a child of God? Is that what it says? No. He gave them the power, and that Greek word can also be translated as authority or privilege. He gave them the power, the authority, or the privilege to become children of God. Yeah. Now, in your gospel messages, in your little chick tracks, this is never, ever covered. The chick track is you receive Jesus, that's it. If you got a ticket to go to the Super Bowl and you went through the proper channels and you paid all the great big bounce of money and you got this ticket to go to the Super Bowl, chances are, to be an authentic ticket, you'd get in the Super Bowl. But if you buy a ticket for the Super Bowl from a scalper, you don't know whether that ticket's authentic or not. We got scalpers. Yeah. We got scalpers out there.
Larry, I think
that's a great analogy. Wow.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the action word is to become.
Wow. There you go. Absolutely.
Well, and I think that's the revelation in itself.
Less than 2 minutes to go, so I'm not going to go any further today. And whenever it's time to pick this up again, let's do it. But I believe it's vitally important to each of us individually and especially collectively that we be able to, like Coach just introduced this, we've got to know who our team members are.
Amen, brother. That's excellent.
And the scripture is very clear. We're not to be ignorant of his devices. I said this before as we wind down here today. The Lord's created, he's created a monster here. And what he's created is a lot of guys who are hungry. Everybody, What makes you guys get up in the morning and tune into this show? There's something that is drawing you to this show. And a lot of us, whether we want to realize it or not, we are all on different parts, different steps on the journey. We're all on different, we're not all at the same level. Some are in the first grade, some are in the second grade, some are graduate level. We are not all in the same spot. And that doesn't make anybody more important or more of an authority than anybody else. And what I'm trying to do with the show, what I'm trying to juggle here as the teacher in the classroom, spent 30 years doing that kind of stuff, to understand that my straight A student, he was going to pick it up. And I had to teach somewhere in the middle. That's the battle that I fight daily. Because some of you are college students. Some of you have just come in the last couple of weeks and you just graduating out of kindergarten. And I don't want to get to the point where we overwhelm anybody with anything, but it's going to require that you, when you hear something on this show, you're going to have to do some of your own research. You're going to have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You're going to have to study to show yourself approved. We are laying pieces of meat on the table and we're inviting you to take a bite. And some of you don't have the teeth to chew on them yet. Hang in there with us, all right? Hang in there with us. There's no graduation date in this thing we're on. We're all ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. The devil's team is fierce and organized, as that flowchart shows you. But brothers, the Bible says he's given them to us as our inheritance. We should be owning all these things that they're in possession of. God bless you, man. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.